Right, I'm joined by Paul Golder, who's hot-footed it from Brentwood Borough Council with this week's update from the council.
Good morning, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we had a lot to talk about this week. Now, there's a couple of meetings coming up at the council next week, the environmental meeting and the assets meeting. And particularly in the assets meeting, the council are looking to borrow some money from the government in order to acquire some assets to gain revenue. We've talked about that over and over in this slot on Fridays. They're looking to borrow about £10 million. Now, with my ex-accountant hat on, if you can borrow money, for example, at 2%, and then buy something and then generate income of about 10%, then you would do it all day long, wouldn't you? And yeah. Obviously, that's what the council is trying to do for the benefit of people in the community, because the money goes back into the borough, into services. And Barry Aspinall, leader of the council, says that they have to think outside the box with this, and he says that in Brentwood they're 4 years behind the curve on this one. Other councils have been doing this for ages and ages, and they're making money out of it, and they're buying property outside their boroughs as well as inside their boroughs as well. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. It could be car parks, office blocks, cemeteries, South End Pier. He said, "I'd love to buy South End Pier."
But then just demolish it.
And a bit of pride in your Essex, longest pleasure pier in the world.
No, because it used to have a train, didn't it, years ago?
I think it still does. Yeah, I think it's. I mean, it's not a real train. It's just like a sort of a tram that goes up and down, isn't it? Yeah. Like a bumper car or something.
No, yeah. South End's lovely now. So they've done all South End up. I was up there about a year ago in one of the amusement bits. It's full.
Yeah, it's. I'm a bit old for the amusements now, and they haven't changed since I was at school as well.
They've still got that same fun house, haven't they? Where you or Hall of Mirrors, but I look like that in real life, so I'm not really that bothered.
in Adventure Island, there's a frightening thing. They've got like a fun house there, and then they've got a painted line on it, and they said this is the extent of the 1953 floods, and it's about 15 feet up in the air or something.
Oh, lovely.
You look at it and you think that's just chilling to put on the side of a fun house. Anyway, yeah. Interesting from a local history point of view, because the floods were devastating, but what a chilling thing. Anyway, I don't think Brentwood Borough Council was buying South End Pier. We just got mentioned in passing as but that gives you an idea of the kind of asset that the council can buy if it borrows the money. And Brentwood, as you know, the Accord have been saying for months and months that they're very entrepreneurial and the council should be going out and doing this kind of thing.
Now, but if they were to buy something now, and so as you got like the, when you get the next council, they can, if they had something going through, could the next lot say, well, we're not actually going to go through with that now? And so if this lot now, the Accord say, we're going to buy this, and they've got the paperwork to take it through. If the Conservatives come in, does that mean it all gets kind of changed?
It depends how far the line they go. You know, if contracts are signed, then a commitment is made. Yeah. Then you can't unmake the commitment because of a change of politics from one side to the other.
Right.
You know, if you say, I pledged that the council will pay X thousand pounds a year, then that could be changed.
Yeah.
You know, so it all depends on the individual thing. But obviously the council are trying to buy assets. And one of the assets that they would like to buy is Hopefield Animal Sanctuary. Now, there was a committee last week. There was a unanimous decision of the committee to engage with Tesco's, who own the land at Hopefield, to see if the council can buy the site. So this is news that Brentwood Borough Council is looking to actively purchase Hopefield Animal Sanctuary. And there's a lot of worry about this. You probably know over the last couple of weeks, there's been a consultation that's gone out which has listed Hopefield, and we've talked about that. Mm. And it's listed Hopefield because in the past Tesco's bought the land, they wanted to build a superstore on it, and they were unable to get planning permission to do it. Now, the land is arguably valuable to a developer who may want to build houses on it, and Hopefield are very worried, and Brentwood Borough Council are very worried too, that Hopefield may find themselves compromised by Tesco's trying to sell the land to a developer who then obviously kicks the sanctuary out. That's going to be a major problem. We've also been talking about this thing called the Local Development Plan, to give it its correct title, the Strategic Growth Options Consultation. And this is the plan where this is where the Brentwood Council is asking the people of Brentwood to have their ideas about recreation and so on. There's an advert going out on Phoenix 7, and that's what that's all about. And part of this is to create a recreation strategy. Now, Barry Aspinall wants to secure Hopefield and expand it as well on its areas as working. He's got this You know, Hopefield relies fundamentally on donations. Yeah. They don't have a lot of money. Let's say the land costs £2 million. I don't know how much it costs. Now, if the council buy the land for £2 million, they would be expected to generate income from it to justify buying the land in the first place. And obviously, Hopefield haven't got the money to pay the rent on £2 million, whatever it might be, you know, £100,000 a year or whatever. They wouldn't be able to do that. So Brentwood Borough Council would be fully aware that they'd be buying an asset on behalf of a charitable organisation that wouldn't be able to give them an income. So what they want to do is they want to expand it, maybe buy more land. And there's a lot of animal sanctuaries and animal welfare groups around the borough and beyond. You know, we talk to Wallace Kennels all the time and Remus and so on. There's a lot of dogs, horses. There's lots of places. Mm. Barry's kind of envisaging, maybe making animal attractions, having a visitor centre, more parking. So that he can generate income to make a business case to justify buying the land.
Would that mean all of the other places actually being in one place?
Or? I think he's got an idea that he'd like to do something like that. So it's not just, oh, okay, you know, here's the land, let's carry on as before. Yeah. He wants to make it better for people, for the visitors, really, so they can go to an animal sanctuary. There are other things there as well.
Yeah.
And a way of making money for the council, which goes back to paying back what they've spent on the land to generate income for the council. Now, this isn't going to, you know, let's make it clear, he's not talking about any of the existing organisations having to put their hands in their pocket any deeper to do this. He's looking at ways of creating a business case to, it's a vision of his, but certainly he said that Hopefield needs security of tenure and he wants to give them that. He doesn't want this situation where Tesco's have got a cloud over their heads and they don't know what's happening. I know that the people from Hopefield's Animal Sanctuary have been spending ages trying to get a straight answer out of Tesco's to find out what their intentions are, and they're just being moved about from pillar to post at the moment, which is not good news, on Tesco's behalf, really. But this is a good opportunity for the council to purchase the land, and it's also a good opportunity because we've got this local development plan consultation going ahead, that anyone listening, if they want Hopefield to be classified as a community asset, which is going to make it much more difficult for Tesco's to sell it for housing. In fact, I don't think they can sell it for housing if it becomes a community asset. Then they should write to the council to let them know their views by the 17th of February and ask that they should do that. And I think if you support Hopefield Animal Sanctuary and you don't want it to be sold off for housing, then you should write to the council and tell them that you think that the sanctuary should become a community asset. Hopefully then Tesco's would be able to negotiate with the council for a sale.
How many people have to write in to make it a community asset? Is it a certain number?
No, it's not triggered. It's a consultation, really. But if nobody writes in, then the council would be hard put to justify turning it into a community asset because people would say you haven't been able to demonstrate a demand for this to happen. Yep. But then if people write in, then there will be a demand, and the council have got much more firepower in order to do that. Now, of course, if they do build houses, Barry Aspinall made the point that the council would have to approve that anyway, and they could chuck it out.
Yep.
And of course, Tesco's or the new developer could appeal. And where would they have to appeal to? They would have to appeal to Secretary of State for the Environment, who happens to be Eric Pickles.
Right.
And now Barry is, you know, doesn't control Eric Pickles' day-to-day thoughts, but he couldn't envisage a situation where a developer would try and buy that land for housing and or put housing on there, have it rejected, and then appeal, and then Eric Pickles will say, oh yeah, we'll do that, because obviously Eric is a big supporter of Brentwood, being the local member of parliament, and I'm not sure if there's a conflict of interest there, but I don't think Eric Pickles would be the one who would kill Hopefield any more than anybody else locally. So it's all good news. You know, Barry was very happy to see 10,000 people who've supported the petition in the few days that it's been up all over the world. So there's a lot of publicity about it. The vibe I got is that the council is looking, well, they are actively looking to purchase this land and protect the site. They have engaged with Tesco's already in order to do that. So they have started talking. Tesco's are very quiet when it comes to members of the public asking them what's going on with Hopefield, but Brentwood are talking to them. So that one's going to run and run, I think, but hopefully it's going to be good news. You know, there's people fighting for Hopefield for that. So, and, you know, we hope here at Phoenix FM that, you know, hope feel successful and they get this, they get their future resolved, you know, in a good way. We hope that. Good. Right. Shall we move on?
Yep.
Barry has been down to West Haunton this week. This is all about the Dunton Garden suburb. He's been meeting residents and officers of the council have been down as well, and they've been having their say. A lot of people have got fears still because the consultation is mentioning all the previous developments. This is what we talked about with Hopefield and everything else. And I think this is a very difficult thing to get over to the public, that just because your area is marked for development or an area near you is marked for development in this plan, it doesn't mean it's going to happen or even that anyone actually supports it or is even thinking about it. It just has to be there to protect it. And that's a, it's a difficult point that we need to get over again and again. Now, Barry hopes to have another session in West Haunton one Saturday or one evening. We mentioned that last week, so now to enable more people to come along. They've had some meetings in Langdon already on the other side of the border over in Basildon Borough Council's area, and they were very well attended. And I asked some questions about, you know, how big is this thing going to be? And I didn't really expect an answer because nobody really knows. You know, that's not been decided. But Barry seemed to suggest that it's going to be bigger than Ingatstone, this place. It could be like another Ongar. And then he went on to say, you know, it's a blank canvas to create a large village, 21st century style. So it could be a lot of green living, you know, there could be, you know, renewable energy in place already. There's not going to be loads of rows of houses in an estate, like the old way of town planning. It's going to have much more of a villagey feel, he would
And what were the property, do they know what the property prices, are they going to have affordable houses?
I would guess so, yeah. I think they would need to be. I mean, there's no point building, like, you know, we need new housing to house people. There's no point building 4 and 5 bedroom detached
houses.
Will
they be, but will they be sort of affordable? They're just going to be the general whatever it is for that area.
You know, that hasn't come up in the conversation, but I believe that the whole point of building new houses is to create affordable houses. When the government tells councils you need to build 5,000 houses a year, they're not talking about top end stuff. They're talking about stuff that people can.
But
afford.
Still, if you're coming, if you're just like a young couple to get a mortgage on even a basic property for 250,000, you've got no hope whatsoever of getting that. And if you think about a house out in that area, would they be in the sort of 200,000 mark, or is it I mean, obviously, house prices are expensive.
You would like me to sell you one of these houses, basically.
Yeah, well, if it's 150,000, unless you both work and you've got a huge deposit, it's quite difficult to get on the property ladder, isn't it?
Well, you're talking about two sides there. You're talking about firstly making the houses in the first place, and then secondly having schemes in order to allow people to afford the mortgages or the deposits. And there are supposedly schemes by the government, which I've not heard as being a great big success because a lot of people can't, they're not applicable for a lot of people. But if you're a first time buyer and you need some housing, then I would imagine that there's going to be help available to you because all major parties are committed to that. Also, of course, simple rules of demand and supply: the more houses you get, the cheaper they're going to be.
Yeah,
so hopefully if they do build a lot of people don't want new houses because they, you know, we all know the reasons why. But if you need a house and they build a whole load of houses, you would hope that not only are they going to be affordable, but it's actually going to push down prices in the area, which is not much good if you're relying on it for your pension, but it's pretty good if you're wanting to buy a house and get on the property ladder, which a lot of people are excluded from doing. You know, 25, 30 years ago, it was much easier to get on the property ladder. It's almost impossible for young people now. Yeah. Now, people in their 50s might say, well, so what, hard luck, that's life. And people in their 20s might say that's not fair. Mind you, it's the ones in their 50s that go out and vote, not the ones in their 20s. There's a lesson to be learned there. Okay, so you know, but sadly we're looking maybe between 5 and 8 years. This is part of the frustrations of local government and how quickly it works. This isn't going to happen this week or next week or even this year. A village isn't going to spring up overnight, which is a shame. But you know, it sounds quite exciting. It sounds like, you know, some kind of utopian dream that they're actually going to make a nice place for people to live and work. So, you know, with the infrastructure and everything. So, you know, if it happens and the councils get it right, good luck to them. That would be good news.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, little story about the refurbishment of the town hall that's going on. About 20 years ago, during another search at a town hall, the old town hall clock was found and restored. And Roy Dyer, the borough's newest MBE, actually helped to get that the new innards put in the clock. And I believe that's the clock that's I think that's the clock that's hanging outside the main, not the main entrance of the town hall, but the other main entrance, the one where the committees take place. And that was 20 years ago. Now, last week, Barry, you can imagine him just rooting around the empty cupboards of the top of the town hall, being open for the first time in years. And he found the old innards last week. And they were built over 150 years ago. So it's part of the, you know, part of the history of the town. And he'd like to put out an appeal to find someone who might be able to clean and restore the innards, not so that they actually start working again, but just so that they look presentable, so that it could be a nice centrepiece of the new foyer when they refurbish the town hall and they rebuild the foyer. It's a piece of Brentwood history. You don't have to get it working, like I say, you don't have to, but it's someone who might know. So, you know, we'll put up an appeal out as well. And if you're from a jeweller's or a clock company or something like that, and you want to have a go sprucing up some innards for the council, I'm sure they'll be very grateful and she'll be happy to hear from you. So we'll be talking about that in future days. We're going to get some photos, put them on the website so that we can have a look at it as well. So that's something that he'd like to do. Also been talking to the parish councils. We mentioned at the start of the council year that he'd been talking to all of them and asking them for ideas for raising revenue, because they were going to be under pressure with the amount of money they were going to receive. They would need to find new ways of making money. And he's continued the consultations and had dialogue with all of the parish councils, and he's very happy to report that they've all now come forward with suggestions for making money for their parishes, like solar panels or renewable energy, new recreational facilities, whether they're indoor or outdoor, facilities to provide mobile phones and broadband to people where there's no service, which is a hot potato. Even cemeteries, you know, both green and burial cemeteries. Barry is very happy and is pointed this to the strategic growth options consultation, which is we mentioned earlier is happening, and hopefully there will be some ideas going in there for raising money for the parishes. So that's all going ahead. And finally, just one little bit of news worth mentioning. Our new door is on its way.
I was about to say, where's our new door? I was about to shout, they're just rooting around in cupboards for clocks. Where's our door?
The door has been identified. It's a nice door. It's and I suggested he come along to the opening of the door, but of course it's usually a closing of the door, isn't it?
Yes.
So we might have to open the door, and then we say we declare this door is now officially closed. Okay, and then we close the door. So it's the opposite of an opening. So I think that's good. I think that's going to happen. So yeah. Hopefully in the next few weeks, we don't know if the door's going to fit.
Right.
Barry's
coming
this.
Down. He's filing the door off and all sorts. It's going to be put on properly.
He looks a bit handy with a plane. Yeah. I have to admit. Yeah, I think that could happen. So good news for Phoenix FM. Our beaten up, storm damaged door is hopefully going to be a thing of the past, and we're going to have a nice shiny new door to greet our visitors, which would be absolutely fantastic if we get that. So fingers crossed. So good week at the council, I think.
There we go. Yeah, well done. And if you are a clockmaker out there and you'd like to work on the innards, it sounds a little bit disturbing that, but if you'd like to work on the innards, you know anybody in Brentwood, do get in contact, radio@phoenixfm.com, and well, you'll be back next Friday.
Yeah, we'll put some more information out on the website when we get the pictures and as we get it.
And also write to reply. We're looking for other local councillors want to come in, have a chat.
Absolutely.
Like Chris Hossock did this morning, you're more than welcome.
We didn't have any politics this week. There was no contentious issues. It was all about moving forwards, which is good. But we've got elections coming up in 3.5 months' time. Yep. It's going to be exciting. National elections and local elections. We're going to be here, of course. This station's studio is buzzing all night during the elections. It's the best day of the year. Even if you don't like politics, it's one of the best days of the year to get involved with Phoenix FM, because this place is absolutely jumping with excited and sad and happy people. So, there's going to be a lot that we're going to do in the run-up on the politics
side. We'll have our own debate, won't we?
Well, plans are afoot.
Oh, can't say any more than that. 11:27, here's Shakira. I'll be back with some travel after this.